Sometimes we can't see how it's going to work out. We don't possibly see how what has to happen or what needs to happen will happen. And if you're like me, that can pretty well stress you out. There have been a lot of times where I know that in the course of my life as a believer, from about the time I was 18 or almost 19 to today, where I did not know how God was going to take care of what I needed Him to take care of or what I wanted Him to take care of. I knew there was a gap in between where I was and what either the need or the desire was. Huge gap. That gap was bigger than me. There was nothing that I could do that I wasn't already doing for that gap to be surmounted. No way. Been there? Well, I want us to remember that because we're going to be sharing something about that today. I want to start out with a story. We're talking about God always provides. We need to remind one another of that. Because the fact of the matter is, whenever we see that gap between where we are and what we need God to do, we forget what He's done. Because we look at the gap and we don't look at God. We look at the gap and we don't remember the track record. So that's what I want to do today. I want to look at some passages, a few of them that remind us, and then we'll press on and we'll share a little bit. So, John, first of all, we're going to look at the story. It's the quintessential story that proves God provides. Not in the way that was expected. Certainly not in a situation that would have been desired. It's found in Genesis chapter 22. Got your Bible? You might want to look there. But I am going to put it on the overhead for you. It's the story of Abraham being a faithful man. God and he had talked on several occasions. God had shown up in his life in several different ways. Told him that he was going to have a son. It was the son of promise. Who was the son of promise? Do you remember? Isaac. And his name means what? Laughter. Okay? His mama laughed whenever Abraham told her she was going to have a baby. She goes, yeah, yeah, right. And his name springs forth from the, yeah, right. So here it says in 22, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and Abraham replied, here am I. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. Now, folks, if you or I had heard that in our quiet time, I don't know that you or I would have gotten up the next morning and saddled our donkeys or got in our Saturns or whatever we have. But he did the next day. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, funny thing about these numbers is how they keep popping up, right? Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he left himself, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham said. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place that God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. This is one of the places where you see a name of God take place. It's that God is the God who provides. Now, as much as we cannot comprehend or understand what Abraham had to choose to do, what God would test him to do, I don't understand all that. I don't get it. But what I do get in the long run is that God provided. God had a plan. He had a purpose. And then in the long run, what Abraham was supposed to understand is that God does provide. And he got that because he named the place the Lord provides. So he learned the lesson. He didn't have to repeat it. He got it. So, as we launch out today, I want to remember this story. Things I want us to remember as we look at some other passages that we'll find in the New Testament about God providing. One, sometimes the situations we find ourselves in where we need God to provide, we don't understand. We don't perceive what God is doing. It makes no sense to us. For us, it's just chaos from our viewpoint. God has a purpose, but we aren't God and we don't see the purpose. The gap. But what we need to remember is that He is the God who provides. The answer is always in God Himself, not in the stuff that He does for us. So that we want to stay away from that either materialistic or me-first approach to faith that says God's all about providing what I need. We say, God, we're here to serve you. And Abraham certainly demonstrated that kind of faith, that he was there for God. Everything that he valued the most dearly, he was willing to place before God and offer to him. So it's all about that as opposed to me and what I need. But God does provide. Okay, let's go to the next passage, Sean. This one comes from Acts chapter 14. It's a statement made by Luke. Actually, he was quoting. It says, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season, and he provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. That's a baseline provision, isn't it? Okay? So, what does it remind us about how God provides? Okay? David says, it's on time. What else? He does provide love. It's always enough. You see, we live in a culture. None of us depend on farms for our existence, do we? And not one of us are growing stuff that if we don't have something growing, we don't have nothing. Okay? Because we are separated from that, sometimes the basic significance of what's being talked about here is lost upon us. So whenever you see, he said, he has shown kindness by giving you rain. And it's not just my grass is brown. It's that rain is essential for me to have stuff to eat, to provide what I need for us to grow. And so rain from heavens and crops in their seasons. The very fact that Riceland Foods or Dole Pineapple or you know whatever other company you want to come up with can pay farmers to grow the stuff that we eat is a pretty much big investment in us. It's a provision that we often take for granted because we think we go buy it at the store and it just magically shows up on the shelf. What else do you see here, Stephen?
We have absolutely no part of that. We don't bring anything to the table to make that happen.
Right. We can do nothing to make that happen. You've seen the old movies from the 1950s and 60s about people that try to make it rain. Okay? Rainmaker. Okay, the whole idea of shoot silver oxide up there in the clouds and it makes the clouds heavy and boom, we have rain. I don't know. Something like that. We haven't figured out a way to do that. Now, you've probably seen science fiction movies or heard of science fiction movies about some country who's found a way to manipulate the weather to be a some kind of weapon or some kind of, you know, science fiction. Okay. We're talking what only God can do. And He provides. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. It's a provision. Now, we've talked about that a little bit when we were discussing peace, did we not? Talked about joy some, what joy, where joy is anchored, where it really comes from. Okay, I think God providing and the peace that we talked about in the last couple of weeks, all those things, again, come to, are we content with what God is doing in our lives? Now, that doesn't mean to say that we're supposed to be content with things that are wrong. It's just that, or bad, or not keeping with His character. It's just that we understand God's in control. We're content with that. We are satisfied with Him. Anything else you want to say? In 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 6, Paul said to Timothy that he was to command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, if you're like me, as you read that, you kind of think of it echoing back to the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus was talking about not being worried about what you wear, or what you eat today. Trust in God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. You could just say in paraphrase, all these things will be provided for you. So what do you see here? Where do you see the provision of God? This is New International Version. Somebody that's got a different version, see what that word that we have here rendered enjoyment. See what it is in another version, if you would, please. Share that with us. Everybody has NIV. Says the same word, enjoy or enjoyment. There is no other way to see that word. So since that's the only way that we can possibly see that word, then we can't, yes, we can't ignore that word. Okay? So, who provides us everything for our enjoyment. Now, does that give us a free ticket to then expect or assume? Which, in my mind, kind of takes us back to a story in the Old Testament. They had to do with a group of folks wandering around in the desert, needing things, and having a God that provided them stuff, none of which that they really understood, to the point of where they called what was provided, "What's this?" So, manna, what's it, ended up being God's provision. How long was that provision in that case? How long was it good for? One day. Now, that may not be what they were expecting or what they were wanting. And after a while, they got kind of grumpy about it, didn't they? We keep eating this, what's it? And God gives us this, what else did he give them? Quail, okay. Flew their way, by the way. Sent them that direction. And that stuff wouldn't last very long. Okay. Nothing to put in the freezer. But it was God's provision. It was for the day. Where do you hear that kind of thing echoed in the New Testament? Something that Jesus said to his disciples, huh? What's a part of that prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. We kind of seen how this is working? Well, it doesn't say that we can manipulate one way or the other. If you're rich, you can't manipulate it. If you're not rich, you can't manipulate it. If we want God to do this, and he does this, has he still provided? Yes. But he didn't provide this, and this is what we wanted him to provide. The problem has to do with how we see what we wanted him to provide and what he provides. Okay? Did the Israelites need and want God to provide something? Yes. Did they get what they wanted? I don't know what they wanted, but when they got matzah, they got manna. You'll get the idea. You get the idea. It wasn't very tasty. We'll just say that, okay? It was what they wanted. They wanted something to fill their bellies. But is it what they wanted to fill their bellies? Probably not, okay? There was a misalignment between those two things. And that misalignment over the course of time brought on what you see in, I think, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's one of my favorite passages to look at because it's not a happy one, but it's a good one. It's the passage about where the Israelites are described as traveling through, and then they're described as experiencing all the same thing. God's protection, his leadership, basically his provision, but yet some people still grumbled, they tested, they did all these things, followed other idols. And Paul is saying, hey, y'all, don't do that. Provision. Yes. Yes, bless you. To think that God provided this stuff that fell every day that they could collect so they could eat it and that actually sustained them, and then that God caused quail to fly in their direction, okay, on a consistent basis to feed a lot of people. I mean, come on, people. It's a lot of quail. You got a million or more folks in the desert? That's not just a few quail. That's a lot of stuff. But then to think that after a while, their perspective was, it's not what I want. It's not how I wanted God to meet that need. So they began to misunderstand or mischaracterize the the fact that God had provided for them, and they shunned it to some degree. They complained about it. And another way to say that is, you are God's provision for someone else. No matter what we see it as, when God provides, He's always doing what He does for our best. But we don't understand that. We don't have that viewpoint. This one's from Ephesians chapter 3. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And that's one from Ephesians. I want to look at another one from Ephesians. Next one, chapter 3. There you go. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." Do you see the word that kind of keeps coming back? Power. "To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So, what kind of provision is mentioned here in Ephesians? What's he saying about a certain kind of provision? I'm going to go back to the preceding passage. What's the provision? We'll start there. What's the provision? What provision is this talking about? Okay? That comes from what? What is the actual thing being provided? Okay, the Holy Spirit that brings... Okay, it's from His glorious riches. Okay, talking about Jesus. Okay? That you and I would know Him, that we would have His life in us, which is then going to bring power to our lives that is not ours. So it is the provision that God makes as He brings the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit to live within us. And many times we minimize what God can do in us and through us. And when we look at what Paul's saying about what's available, what he makes available and how he provides already in us, none of us can sit around and go, "Oh, poor, pitiful me. God doesn't care about me. He hasn't done anything for me." Oh, come on now. I'm just the unloved stepchild sitting on the corner. Everybody else has got all this really good stuff. They got the good gifts. I got the box. That goes back to an old Smothers Brothers routine, by the way. "Mom always loved you best. You got the bicycle, I got the box. You got the swing set, I got the box." Some of you don't even know who the Smothers Brothers are. It's okay. You can go research that sometime. Might even be on YouTube. But that would have been black and white, probably. Okay. So this is a provision that goes beyond material. It's the provision that begins with relationship. It's the provision that really is at the core of our perception of God's provision in our lives. And what we're going to do in a minute is we're going to practice what verse 18 talks about. It says, in this case, he was praying for the Ephesians that they, being rooted and established in love, can have power together with all the saints. So today, we're going to practice the power of the presence of God as we remind one another that God provides and how He's provided in our lives. That we can grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ that has been come to bear upon us. Individually and collectively. We do have...
In a way that's substantial enough to grasp.
But it's how we do understand it better is together. Okay. That's why it is so dangerous for anybody to be living on a spiritual island, because then you begin to believe anything and everything. Or not believe anything and everything. You are ripe for the picking. Okay, so we understand God's provision better, and God who He is in us and among us when we do this together. Okay. 1 Corinthians. I referred to the passages before this in 1 Corinthians 10 just a few minutes ago whenever I talked about Paul talking about what happened when the Israelites were in the desert and the things that kept them from getting where God wanted them to be in the promised land. And at the end of that, he says, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So what kind of provision is he talking about here? We've talked about stuff. We've talked about spirit. We've talked about community. What kind of provision is he talking about here? Escape from sin? Okay.
I would think stamina.
Stamina, spiritual stamina. Okay. Done. And temptation is not the same thing as a sin. It's a matter of what we do with the temptation that determines where we go, right? As far as what direction. Okay, so we even have provision for a way to deal with the stuff that comes at us. All right, we've talked about a lot of different things, a lot of different ways that God provides today. So, the floor is open, and the reality is I could probably sit up here and spend a couple hours, if I really wanted to, telling you about ways that God reminds me of the ways that He's provided. But what I just want you to do is think for a minute about a good one and share that with us. How has God provided for you? In any of these ways that we have talked about. Okay? God provided. One day in the future, there will be a time where we are going to hope and pray that that little girl realizes the provision that God made for her when she was where she was, which she probably will not remember. Okay, she'll probably not remember where she came from whenever she's 35. But hopefully what she can appreciate is how God provided in what He's done in her life through that time. And she can look back and see, boy, how did that happen? How did God orchestrate that? How was it me? Now, I'm going to ask you to apply that to your life with Christ too. Where were you? Each one of us can say, how would He have picked me? chosen me, provided for me. To encourage one another, let's remind one another, God is providing for us, has provided for us, and will provide. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even in the midst of sorrow, trouble, and suffering and hardship, He is providing. God's provision. Yeah, I know. Deb, you couldn't see it, but Bobby was doing your halo for you. All right. Let's pray. Father, we declare that You are a good God, that You are intimately involved in our lives, and even when we do not know it, we acknowledge, Lord, we confess that You do provide. Lord, give us the eyes to see. Give us the hearts to perceive the ways that You are providing for us, even when it is not visible. Lord, the ways that You protect us, the ways that You direct us. Lord, help us to be able to appreciate and be thankful. Lord, help us to encourage one another and keep telling the stories of how You provide. Thank You. In Jesus' name.